You're listening to Inward with Rabbi Joey Rosenfeld on the Sheffa Podcast Network. Join Rabbi Joey as he guides us through the world and major works of Kabbalah, Hasidic masters, and Jewish philosophy, shedding light on the inner life of the soul.
Okay, so Be'ezras Hashem, a thought for the week, Be'ezras Hashem. When we look at reality, when we look at life, when we look at experience in all of its intensity and all of its pleasure and all of its boredom and in all of its excitement, one of the ways that we cope with reality, one of the ways that a person and our tzaddikim teach us to learn the pathways of calmness and dealing with reality that doesn't often feel calm is to abstract what one is experiencing back to a place of thought, to be oile into a world of machshava, to take the concept of experience and abstract it by thinking about it conceptually and framing the experience so that now when we experience that thing, we also have a context. And that context is a source of sweetening. The mind, machshava, gives us the ability to tolerate life a little bit more. And it allows us to find the secret of meaningfulness. It allows us to attach ourselves to the nekudas ha-chachma shebechol davar, the point of wisdom that exists within each thing, as Rabbi Nachman opens up Likutei Maran with, that an individual in this world needs to always seek out and connect themselves with the nekuda of chachma, with the seichel shebechol davar, which means to say that we live in a world of devarim, we live in a world of things and experiences and words, and we come in contact with the road and our hands come in contact with objects and we feel both physically, emotionally, spiritually, we feel contact with this world. And the experience in Olam Ha'asiyah is heavy. It's explicit in all of the texts. It's the heaviest of all heaviness. And so sometimes it's burdensome to live fully in contact with the asiyah of it all, with the experience and the sense of it all. And we have to abstract it back into the idealized spaces of thought to think about experience. Now, this can obviously be used in the wrong way as an escape from experience. But when used properly, it allows us to re-enter experience with a newfound insight that doesn't diminish. It does not create a disappearance of all of the problems, but it gives us a new way of framing it, a new way of looking at it. And b'machshava is bariru hakol, the Zohar HaKadosh says. In the mind, everything is clarified. The mind is the source of all hamtaka sadinim. And so by thinking about what we encounter in a day-to-day gives us the ability not only to contemplate it in moments of calmness, but rather to apply those insights into a very real, embodied, psychological, emotional way where the deepest ideas become coping mechanisms to find calmness in this world. And so we find ourselves in reality. Yesh Olam, a person wakes up in the morning and they are here right now with all of the aches and the joys and the pains and the frustrations and the excitement and the overwhelmingness, each and every emotional category of experience that assaults the individual upon waking, with each and every one of our defense mechanisms that have evolved over time and lasted over time and those that have fallen apart and our unhealthy ones and our healthy ones, each person in accordance with their way of encountering the world, each person in their own most selfhood. We engage with this world. We live in this world. It is the most pashut thing available to us. But what our tzaddikim allowed us to do is to gain insight outside of this worldliness, about this worldliness. Not to escape this world and all of its intensity and the vicissitudes and the joys of being human, but rather to contextualize it, understand it, and not run away, but carry those ideas and the insight that we've gained by our retreat back into the mind and drag it back into the world of Asiya, where we can then renew, reveal the deep joy and pleasure that abides specifically in the lowest place imaginable, where we draw the idea and the machshava into the action. But we sometimes have to retreat back to the machshava. And one of the machshavos that the tzaddikim gave us, especially the Arizal and those who came before him that find expression within the Arizal, because the Arizal did a lot of sifting to clarify for us what the direct line of transmission in terms of a healthy and an honest, true, real, holy perspective of what it means to be a human being in this world is. The Ramak collected everybody. The Arizal went and he sorted through and gave us a zerem, gave us a specific place. So it's not only the Arizal, but it's all the tzaddikim that preceded the Arizal as well, the tzaddikim amitim. But the question that they ask is, what was the purpose behind the creation of the world? The how and the why of the creation of the world are two fundamental categories when it comes to what Jewish thought is teaching us and what Pnimiyas HaTorah is teaching us. When it comes to the how as well as the why of the creation of the world, in the end of the day, we're always going to come up against the very fundamental realization that we know absolutely nothing whatsoever. Because our grasp, as we've spoken about so often, is ultimately limited, because as creatures, we can never truly grasp the creator. We can never truly grasp even the concept of what creator with a capital C might actually mean in its essence, or the intentionality of a creator, or the ratzon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had, or the kalim, or the mechanisms, and the tzimtzumim. We can know about them, we could talk about them, but at the end of the day, we can't tell you what they are really like, we can only tell you what they feel like. We can only describe these concepts, both with regards to the how and the why of the creation of the world. Nevertheless, once we accept that, everything resides on the central pillar and point of faith, because at the end of the day, we come to a place of learned ignorance. As Rabbi Nachman quotes all the time from the Kadmoinim, from the Bechinas Olam, Shatachlis Hayadiyah Shaloi Neda, that the apex and the purpose ultimately and the telos of knowledge is coming to a place where we know that we do not know. It's not that we simply don't know in an ignorant fashion, but we know that we do not know. We know that we cannot know. It's a learned ignorance. It's coming to a place of fully grasping the fact that I can never truly grasp the infinite in any way whatsoever. And all I must rely on is the miraculous power and the wondrous power of Emuna, which is the lowest, and it brings me even higher than the highest. But once that is set in stone, that we don't know, and at the end of the day, as the tzaddikim said, the only way to learn Pnimiyas HaTorah is to learn it enough till you come to a point where you realize that you ultimately do not know. Again, it doesn't mean ignorance. It means knowing everything, but at the core, knowing that everything simply brings us to that place of absolute nothingness, what we can't grasp. But once we have that set in stone, we can then examine, and we have a grand history of examining the how and the why of the creation of the world. The question that we're going to look at, just again as a hakdama for a machshava, for an intention for the week, is the why of the creation of the world. So after we come in direct contact and a full surrender to the true unfathomability of it all, and how in the end of the day, even the highest point that we're speaking about is still not even close to the fullest or even the most limited expression of what God, so to speak, can truly be in its essential form. And at that point, again, we have direct access to it in our own hearts and every aspect of existence, but we don't grasp it, we don't know it. Once we own that, then we can have the conversation about the why. Where does that source of the unfathomable desire that arose within the infinite places of godliness, where does that emerge from? So the Arizal gives us two answers, and we're going to focus on one of those answers. The first answer is that God, so to speak, is infinite in all matters of infinitude, unlimited in all matters of unlimitedness. And in order for something to be truly infinite, or order for something to be truly unlimited, it must also have the capacity to express itself in finitude or in limitation. Because if you take away the power of limitation or finitude or something finite from the infinite or from the unlimited, you're decreasing in its power and you're creating a deficiency, because it only has the ability to be infinite but not finite, limitless but not limited. So the secret of Rabbeinu Azriel of Gaon and all of the tzaddikim amitim is that there was a potential towards limitation, a potential towards finitude that existed by way of non-existence within the infinite itself and within the unlimited itself, referred to as koyach ha'gvul bebilti gvul, the potency or the potential towards limitation in a non-limited way, the potency or the potential towards finitude in an infinite way. And all that we know of existence is the unfolding of that infinite power that existed by way of non-existence within the unlimited, in its truest form, as far as our language can bring us. So then we begin to understand that everything is not, it's not something from nothing, it's a revelation of something that has always existed. And so that's the first answer, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to reveal. It's also considered something from nothing. I shouldn't just leave that on the table, but both are need to be understood in the light of something that was always already present being revealed, so to speak. So the reason for the creation of the world is that Hashem wanted to reveal his potential externally, And in order for his potential, so to speak, to emerge externally, once he has decided in the unfathomability of all things to reveal himself in that way, so that's what the creation and the unfolding of the worlds is, so that Hashem can fully express himself. That's the first answer that the Arizal gives, and that answer is utilized by the Leshem, by Hasidus, nearly always. This is the main answer given. And we begin to understand that direction of the unfolding and the revelation from something that was in a state of concealment. Chabad is Malev Gadush in this. They spend infinite amounts of words describing what this process looks like. But then there's a second answer that is actually printed textually earlier than, in Eitz Chaim. But this answer is given that the reason for Hashem's desire to create the world is because Choy Katoiv Lehetiv, that is the nature of goodness, capital G goodness, to express good. Now, without getting into the technicalities of this concept or the postulates that it's built upon, accepting this notion because our tzaddikim have given it to us, the Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Luzzatto, took this reason for the creation of the world and placed it at the crown of his system. Ki Choy Katoiv Lehetiv, the essential nature of absolute goodness, the goodness of all good, is to bestow goodness. Now, practically speaking, leaving the realm of the theoretical, to apply this on a practical level, an emotional level, to wake up in the morning and to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created the world in order to bestow good. Ki Choy Katoiv Lehetiv, it is the ultimate nature of good to bestow good. That it's an Oilam Chesed Yibana. That Hashem has created a world of goodness. That the basic status of this place is goodness. Is Ach Toiv V'Chesed Yodafuni. It's a being chased by goodness, by the possibility of growth, by the possibility of experience. There is a grace, a hidden grace that exists hidden within all things, a chain that shines forth from all things, that creates opportunities in this world of beauty and growth and every other possible experience as well. However the value is, minus, positive, whatever the feeling is, this world provides an opportunity for closeness, connection, and a movement forwards and beyond myself a little bit more. That this world is very good, tov ma'od, it's very good. And ma'od, Chazal have already told us, includes death and includes struggle and includes everything. But when all is said and done, the simplest postulate that must be accepted and lived with, because the alternative is an impossibility, is that this world is good. Ki choy katoiv lehetiv. Hashem created a good world. Hashem created a garden. Hashem created a Gan Eden. And this notion does not dispel any ounce of suffering or darkness that a person experiences, because that's very real and that's very there, but it's still part and parcel of the ultimate unfathomable good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is revealing. How or why, in what sense it's possibly good in terms of how we conceptualize good in our own most experiences, is obviously an impossibility to even begin to speak about. But ultimately, the postulate has to be that when one wakes up in the morning, they say yes to the world. The Arizal tells us that when we say, Baruch Sha'amar Vahaya Ha'olam, blessed is he who spoke and created the world. It's an affirmation of existence that is rooted in the place of Resha D'lo Isyada. Baruch Sha'amar is rooted in that place in the world of Yetzirah, in that world of emotions, in that world of confronting a world where I feel things. And that Olam HaYetzira, where I feel emotional tug of war within myself, when I behold the world, I close my eyes and I attach myself to Resha D'lo Isyada, the unknowable head, the loftiest point of the system, that place of coming to a place where I know that I'll never know anything whatsoever and I need to choose to live with a certain truth, otherwise I'm going to lose my mind. In that moment, connected to Resha D'lo Isyada in the world of Yetzira, in that world of emotional experience of Psukei Dezimra, what I am deeply connecting to is Baruch Sha'amar V'Haya Ha'olam. Blessed is he who spoke and created the world. The world is a good thing. It's a good thing. Life is good. Life is good. Life can be good. Experience is intense in every manner of intensity, but there are moments of goodness and it can be tasted. Tuv Tam V'Das. It can be tasted. It can be felt. It's a choice that one makes against all expression otherwise. And each person on their own level has the capacity to make that hachlata, to see the good in this moment, to judge the moment or the other person favorably, to uncover that nekuda tova, that nekuda of goodness, of Baruch Sha'amar V'Haya Ha'olam, of the fact that Hashem created this world for good. That has to be my operant directing system. Otherwise, avadati bioni, the moment I stop believing in this, it's a choice to believe in this. Derech amuna bacharti, tov roi, David Malka Mashiach, who chose to see good in this world. The secret of the Zohar, which is the ability to choose to see good in this world. That the moment the person doesn't is a moment of avadati bioni. We know that already. So it's both a fundamental necessity and the biggest gift in the world to be able to say, Baruch Sha'amar Vahaya Ha'olam, blessed is he who created this world, this moment. Gam ha'olam natan belibam. The world was given over into their hearts. This moment, I am affirming it. I am saying yes to the world, in spite of all things, in spite of all the reasons not to, in spite of all the conditionality and the difficulty of it all. Saying yes in spite of it all, which is the title of Viktor Frankl's lectures that were published after he had already written Man's Search for Meaning. Lectures that he gave in DP camps after the war was saying yes to life in spite of it all. Baruch Sha'amar V'hai Ha'olam, attaching oneself to the Reshit Lo'os Yada. And what that looks like on a practical level is for 2 minutes or a minute or 30 seconds before I enter into the chaos of the world, before I enter into the world of other people, to close my eyes and affirm something, to say, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, you are good, the world is good, people are good, and I am good. And this is good, and it's good, and life is good. Ah, but what about this? It's good, it's good. It doesn't mean what we think it means. Good doesn't mean that it's always easy or pleasurable or painless. Good is a framework in which things exist. It's rooted in the past, the present, and the future of all things. Goodness is something that is perpetually unfolding, the Tov HaAmiti that is revealed with the true tzaddikim, Tov Yashmei, Moshe Rabbeinu, the light of goodness, of Baruch Sha'amar V'haya Ha'olam, of attaching ourselves specifically to that place of not knowing and making the hachlata to say yes to the world, making the decision to say yes, with an exclamation point to say yes, to affirm reality, to say Kain Ba'Kodesh Chazi Sicha. Yes, I'm going to see it. I'm going to find you, Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Ein shem yesh b'olam klal. There's no such thing as giving up, because giving up would already bring me to a place that is far worse than giving up. So I have to perpetually push that saying yes to the world, to say kain, to have an experience of kanut, to look at the world through eyes of positivity, eyes of possibility, eyes of growth, and eyes of hope. There's a maisa that the Kamarna Rebbe, Zchus Yogen Aleinu, the Baal Zohar Chai, wanted very badly to learn from his great uncle, the Zidich of Rebbe, or his uncle, the Zidich of Rebbe, the Yetzeres Tzvi, the Sar HaZohar. I'm sorry, it's the wrong characters in the story. The Kamarna Rebbe had a son, the Demesek Eliezer, who would perish on the Zohar HaKadosh as well, just like his father, the Zohar Chai. And the Demesek Eliezer wanted very badly to learn Kabbalah from his father, the Kamarna Rebbe, who was one of the most heiliga tzaddikim to have ever lived in this world. And the Kamarna Rebbe kept on pushing him off, until he finally decided, and he said, come here at this and this time in the morning, and we're going to begin learning together. And when his son, the Demesek Eliezer, came in the early mornings, in that moment of Moda Ani, where a person is getting up, and they have to make a choice in that moment, whether it's going to be a day of yes or a day of no. And in truth, a person can make that choice infinite times during the day. Each and every moment is a new opportunity to say yes or no to the world, to say kain or lo, to judge it favorably or to fall into the stuckness of negativity. And the Kabbalah Rebbe opened up the Zohar HaKadosh into not the Zohar HaKadosh, the Eitz Chaim Kadisha. And he pointed to this idea in Shaar HaKlalim that the Ramchal took and made the crown of his system that we all know so deeply, that Hashem is good and wants to bestow good. That olam chesed yibane, ki choy katov lehetiv, and everything is perpetually getting better. And the Kamarna Rebbe pointed at it and he said, ki choy katov lehetiv, ki choy katov lehetiv, ki choy katov lehetiv. It is the true essence of goodness to reveal goodness. It is the true essence of capital G goodness to reveal lowercase g goodness. And he repeated it over and over and over, and he closed the Eitz Chaim Kadisha, a very complicated, intense book. And he looked his son, the Demesek Eliezer, in the eyes, and he says, this is the fundamental truth of all things. Everything else is merely commentary. That the world is good, Hashem is good, and we have the opportunity to choose to see good. And when we can choose to see good, more good appears in front of us. And we take those nekudos tovos and we string them together to create nigunim of our lives. And we bring those nigunim to the Beis HaMikdash, where we'll be able to sing the songs of our lives of goodness. The nigunim of our lives that transform all of the despondent chords and all of the difficult chords, not into something opposite themselves, but they reveal the goodness that exists in every experience. To say yes to the world, to reach into that place of unknowing, of reish lo es yada, and say, Baruch sha'amar v'haya ha'olam. Rosh etevos b'shav. Equanimity, as we're going to see in a future class on Shavisi Hashem l'negdi tamid. The way to attach oneself to that place of achtoi v'chesed yidfuni is b'shav. Baruch sha'amar v'haya ha'olam. A sense of equanimity. All things equal. Shavisi Hashem l'negdi tamid. Be'ezras Hashem, if we could choose to say yes to this moment, to this experience, to this day, to this person, and Be'ezras Hashem, a person is going to begin to feel the light of Mashiach in their lives, Be'ezras Hashem.
This podcast is supported in part from a grant from the Hadar Institute. The music is by Zusha. The audio engineer is David Kwan. For more from the Shefa Podcast Network, visit our Facebook page and please subscribe and leave a review on Apple Podcasts.